let's begin. We've done a few sugyas right together through this parak. We discussed how many dayanim, we discussed which level of dayanim, we discussed whether or not there's a mitzvah of chalitza. So now we're going to discuss a very interesting din. It seems strange on the surface from someone who's looking outside. I could say that with my own experience. I mentioned the other day that I got to see a chalitza once in my lifetime. There was one in Flatbush a number of years ago in Rabbi Rabag Shul there in Flatbush, and it made a big event. The Indian is to, you want it to be a big piersum, as we'll see in the Gemara later on. You want to make it a public event so everyone knows that this woman is chalitza, so she doesn't marry a kohen, or everyone knows that she's allowed to get married, whatever the Indian is right now. We want it to be a big public event, so we were in the shul, Rabag Shul there, and like people were like hanging over the rafters to watch what was going on, and it's all very fascinating. And you could probably find a video on YouTube or something to see the Seder Chalitza as well. But one of the most interesting thing to me was that the Dayanim were like looking with such care at the spit going from her to him. You know, and they weren't sure if it was big enough, and there was some makbid on the saliva. And the Gemara, that's what the Gemara tells us here in Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, that we learn from the Psukim, Le'ena Ezekenim, the Gemara says, Rav Amar Rava, Tzrichi dayane lemechse roka. The dayan need to see the rope. They need to see the spit. The kanafik mipuma diyavama that is released from the yavama. Dichsev leene hazakenim. The arka that in the eyes of the zakenim, in front of the zakenim, so she has to spit. That's the din. That's the halacha. So that's why I observed to halacha maisa the dayan watching this. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Now, there are many things that we do in Yiddishkeit which seem, you know, so strange on the surface, whether it's Dalet Minim or sitting a sukkah. Every religion has their interesting things that go on. Watching the spit is certainly an interesting one, and we're going to analyze how the Dayan's going to watch the saliva go from her to him. And it's whenever you encounter these, I don't think no one should ever say it's strange. I just use that word because on the surface it might sound strange. But I think the perspective just to shkafa that one should have is that, you know, one of the big complaints people have is, oh, Yiddishkeit, there's so many restrictions, there's so many rules, I got to do this, I got to do that. But it's, you know, the complete opposite, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually in your life in everything that you do. Even something so so strange as spitting, something, you know, so mundane as eating and going to the bathroom, these are HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. And that's not, it's not restrictions, it's actually bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your life. So there's a Tosos in Brachos, a famous Tosos in Brachos, which talks about the Bracha of Leishei Basukah versus the Bracha of Birchas HaTorah, whereby we say a Bracha of Leishei every single time you leave the Sukkah and you come back in, so you have to say another Bracha Leishei. But Tosos asks the question, how come when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, we say once in the morning, we go to work, and we learn at night, I hope, as well, and we don't say a second Birchas HaTorah. Wasn't there a big Hesach Hadas between the morning learning and the evening learning? Why is it no Hesach Hadas like by Leishei Basukah? And Tosa says, because when a person's at work, he's always anticipating, he's Yoshev Mitzapa, when he's have a chance to learn yet again, which is a great Hashkafa Sachaim a person could have. But there's a Taz that says, a little bit even more substantial, I believe, that's not about looking the next time you have a chance to learn, but actually when you are at the office, when you're working, you're doing everything Kedas Kedin. And by you following the halachas of, you know, washing and saying the brachas for eating and benching and you're honest in business and ma'aseh matam, everything you're doing is actually a fulfillment of Torah. There's no hesach hadas. So it's not that there are restrictions, it's actually that you're bringing a Kadosh Baruch Hu into your life, into your business, into your office, and therefore it's a continued birchas Torah from the morning to the evening. Yeah, maybe you're not learning, but the kiyum hamitzvos is a fulfillment of limud Torah. So too as well, whenever you see, you know, these things that they analyze every single aspect of halacha, this is the beautiful thing. That even from her spitting to him, there's a substance, there's kedusha in that. And of course there's much deeper as well. We're just talking about the halacha, how we analyze it, api halacha, but there's so much depth to everything, everything in life. So let's understand this particular din of tzrichei dayane le mechse roka, that they have to observe this the saliva, the spit going from her to him. So Rabbi already records this halacha in Hilchos Yibum. He writes clearly that tzrichin hadayanim liros harok hayot mipia, that they have to observe the rok. That's clear. But the Rambam does note later on in halacha chav gimel in that same parak that im lo ro hadayanim harok kishiyot mipia kasher lechachila they should observe it. And b'diavad, if they didn't, then they are still yotzei the mitzvah of chalitza. The Magen Mishnah points out, now I don't know if the diuk is the greatest diuk, but I think the idea he says is very, very important. He says, it says, tzricha dayani lemechsei, that's lechatchila. Use the word tzricha, you need to. It sounds like not only lechatchila, but b'diavad, you need to. But he says that tzricha means lechatchila, you need to watch the rope. Ava im lo ra'u, kvar asisa chalitzasa, kilchasa sherei rakav. In the end of the day, she spit. So who cares whether the dayanim saw? They're supposed to, the ein ezakenim, but if they didn't see the maisa, she spit, and that was good enough. So this is going to be, I think, an important line in the Magen Mishnah, understanding the sugya. Yeah, Joe. So I hope at the end we'll get to some of that, but it sounds pasha pshat is that the spit itself, the language is lemechse roka. Roka is the cheft of the rope, the actual spit coming out, not the maisa spitting. But at the same time, it does say the kanafik mipuma comes from the mouth of her. So at the second half of the discussion, we'll try to point that very, very good question. So they observe they're supposed to observe the rope, and they don't. So it's kasher b'diavad because lamaisa she spit. That's what the Magen Mishnah says. Lamaisa she spit. Now the Bach oftentimes it's important to note this. You know, there's certain acharonim, there's even certain rishonim, who always took a interesting, you know, a das yachid. Certain das yachid, they have a unique way. One comes to mind, like the Tosfos Rid. You're looking for something interesting in Rishonim. Tosfos Rid oftentimes has an interesting shita. The Mabit, the Kir Sefer. Kir Sefer, one of the Mefarshim of the Rambam. There's interesting Maisa to the Beis Yosef and the Ramah and the Mabit were all living at the same time. And there is supposedly some type of race or competition, not a real one, but they're all trying to write, you know, a lot of Sfarim came into the world. They're trying to write the Halach Lamaisa, some clarity so people have a certain safer to live by. So the Beis Yosef wrote the Torah, ended writing the Shulchan Aruch. Ramah, he was a little bit behind, so he ended up writing his comments of the Darchei Moshe on the Beis Yosef. So as I said before, I meant the Beis Yosef wrote the Beis Yosef, and the Darchei Moshe wrote, the Ramah wrote the Darchei Moshe. Mabit, his Sefer, wasn't really accepted because he only wrote on the Rambam. Well, the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah included all the different Rishonim. The Mabit's focus was on the Rambam. If you're ever looking for an interesting Shita, the Mabit, oftentimes in the Kir Sefer, he has an interesting Shita. So the Bach also, oftentimes Halacha, we don't always pass, like oftentimes not like the Bach. Bach usually is a Das Yachid. So here as well, he's a Das Yachid. I think last year also, he's a Das Yachid. You know, the Taz, the son-in-law of the Bach, he would oftentimes go against his father-in-law. Mori Chami, he quoted his father-in-law, the Bach, and would reject the Bach. So the Bach is always an interesting shita, so he takes a different approach than all the Rishonim. The Bach says that he felt that this drasha of Le'ein Ezekenim is a drasha gemur. It's a real din deraisa. Rava used the pasuk, Le'ein Ezekenim. And therefore, if im lo roa dayanim, he says, chalitza sapsula. He goes against the Rambam. It's pasuk. And he brings a dik from the Tosos. He learns the Tosas in a certain way that the Tosas is talking about if the Yavam, if the man, the brother-in-law, is a Suma, so it's Kosher, B'diavad, in contrast to if the Dayan doesn't see, then it's Pasal. That's a dik. It's hard to appreciate without looking at the Tosas inside, but what comes out from the Bach is clear that it's a Drusha Gemurle in Izakanim, and it's Pasal B'diavad if the Dayanim didn't see the rope, while the Rambam again says it's not possible b'diyad, it's kasher b'diyad. The Beis Shmuel, now when, you know, comes to Evan Ezra, it's kedai. Now, I remember when I was your age, I never really appreciated the Shulchan Aruch so much. It's kedai to, oftentimes guys don't get a Shulchan Aruch until they get married, but the Beis Shmuel is one of the mefarshim on the side of Shulchan Aruch, one of the Nosei Kalim. It's very, very important. He has only commentary Evan Ezra. Different halakim of Shulchan Aruch have different mefarshim. For example, Or Chaim, who the main mefarshim in Or Chaim? Mishabur also, but all in the Shulchan Aruch himself. When he opened up a Shulchan Aruch, you know, on the shelf, Mishabur is not there. The Taz and Magen Avraham and Or HaChaim on Yerideya, very good Samuel Yerideya. It's a Shach and the Taz. So each one has its own set of Nosei Kalim. So Beis Shmuel is on the side of the page of the Evan Ezer. So he's a very important parish.
Just him.
Sorry. Just him. No, the other side is Telkus Machokek, I believe, right? Yeah, Chelkin B'chokeh, not in all of them, he looked through, but he's Chelkin B'chokeh is on the other side of the page. Now, it's interesting, important thing to know, the way they set up the Svarim in general, the more senior Perish was always on the inside column, and the older one's always in the outside column. So if you look at the Chelkin B'chokeh, it's not on Sefer and Chalitza, we don't have it, but if you look in Hilchos Ksubos, for example, the Chelkin B'chokeh is in the center, he was older, and the Shmuel is on the outside, just like Rashi is on the inside, he was older, Tosfos is on the outside. Since we brought it up, why not? There's an interesting Maisa. Sam mentioned the Shach and the Taz in Yerdeya. So the Taz was older than the Shach. The Taz was in the inside column, the Shach was in the outside column. So it's known that the Shach, we almost always pass like the Shach always over the Taz. It's Yadua. There are exceptions here and there, but we always pass like the Shach over the Taz. Now, the Shach was younger, it's strange. So Rav Shechter tells a story from the Gra. The reason why that is, because the Gemara in Erevin teaches us that why are we passing like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai? The Gemara says Beis Shammai mechudadin him. They're sharper, they're wiser than Beis Hillel. So why are you passing like Beis Shammai rather Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai? So the Gemara says because Beis Hillel were anavim, they were aluvim, they got insulted and they didn't respond back. They were anavim, they were very humble. And the key to passing shilas is humility. Humility leads to one passing shilas. So the Gemara explained that since this Taz, he wrote his parish first. He's in the inside column, he wrote his parish first. And then the Shach, at a very young age, the Shach, at the 20s, he wrote his parish, the Shach, which the Taz felt a little bit, that he worked so hard many years, and this young 25-year-old wrote a parish up against his parish. He was very upset about it. And I'm only saying this because this is I would never say this in my own right. But this is the Masorah, so since the Taz got upset, he didn't have that anivus in this particular instance. We pass like the Shach over the Taz. So this is interesting. Either way, the Beis Shmuel is the parish on the side of an Eben Ezer. And he argues in the Bach, and he says that the Bach's diyuk he believes is incorrect. And the drash of Le'enei Zakenim he thinks is only in a smach de ba'alma. And really that the yark of the spitting has to take place in the presence of the Yavam, not in the presence of the Zakenim of the Dayanim. So b'di'eved, the Beis Shmuel says like the Rambam, if they don't observe, if they don't see the spit, it would actually be kshem. So that's the machlokas. Again, number one is the drasha leini zakenim or drasha gemura and esmachta, and that will then dictate if they didn't see the spit whether it's acceptable or not acceptable. The Rambam and Beis Shmuel, that's why Paskin and Shulchan Aruch that b'dyeved it's still kasher, but the Bach stand alone that it's puzzle if they did not see it. So let me ask you the question: what do you think would be this machlokas about whether or not they have to see b'dyeved or not? What would be the nature of what the machlokas is about? Yes, Sammy. We have this machlokas in many, many places. It doesn't have to be Masorah. It could be Masorah. It could be their understanding of different things. So I don't know if it's going to be that route of Masorah. So I think it could be something we addressed last week, maybe, related to the function of Beis Din. That's one approach. And then we'll get to, I think, Joe's angle. But I think one approach is that what's Beis Din, what's their function here? So we have by Edom as well. Edom, what are Edom trying to accomplish? Edekim? Or Edom, the Edom Beirut, they're Mevara, what's going on? So, meaning, when a person has a kedushin under the chuppah, we have two edim that are kasher edim. So, pashup shah is a kedushin, the edim kedushin there, to make the ma'isa kedushin take effect. Not that they're mevar what happened, they're testifying what happened, they're saying this event happened, that event happened. They're there because the presence of the edim are mekayim adavar. Without edim, it's possible. Or do we say edim, sometimes they're there to be mevar. What happened? They saw a person give money to someone else and he owes money. They could mevar what happened to clarify what had happened. So in a similar way, we have by Beis Din. Is Beis Din there? Are they playing the role to create what happened? And their presence, their observance is creating what's going on? Or do we say that they're simply there to be mevar, to ensure something had taken place? So, according to the Bach, perhaps we could say that the Dayanim are there to be Mekayim Adam. And therefore, if they don't see, so then they don't know that it happened. They didn't observe it happen. You can't say, you know, under the chuppah, that if the Edom didn't see the giving of the ring, but they knew it happened. They knew. Let's say they saw on video after the fact. They closed their eyes, they didn't see, but afterwards in the video, that's not good. But the video proves what happened. Why can they? Because Adam, the din is they have to observe what happened to make the ma'isa to be considered a halachic ma'isa. So they just, for your point, for your question, see here as well, the dayan have to be there to make it happen. Not to ensure that it happens, but their presence is a must for chalitza to actually be affected. And if they're not there, it's possible. That's the bach shita. But the other side is that dayanim's purpose is to be, and many reasons, but at least with the element of seeing the spit. The spit is not, the dayanim don't create the spit. They have to just be sure that the spit happened. So l'chachila, make sure it happened. But b'di'eved, then if you didn't see it, as long as you know what happened, that's good enough. If you saw, you know, if you saw the video, if you saw what happened, check the video, okay, that's good enough. And I think that's the lashon of the Magen Mishnah. When the Magen Mishnah says, aval im lo ra'u, kvar asa chalitzasa, kilchasa, was already done properly, sharei rakika. How do they know? How do they know she spit? They knew. They saw the spit in the ground. Someone else told them. They don't have to actually see the spit. They have to know that it happened and ensure that it happened. So you had a question?
No, I was going to say that if they don't see the spit, how
many of you sure that happened? Right. They heard it. They saw it on the floor. But they didn't see the actual mice happening. So maybe that's the approach what the machlokas is about. Yeah.
You must have conditioned. Everyone would agree that the aiding on the kind, right? You know, the condition that they did. But what's the difference between the condition and its fit?
Yeah. Great question. I'm not sure what the what would be driving that chilek, why one would make a difference. We'll see later on, the nature of the Bezdin of Chalitza is very different than other areas. I haven't decided yet whether I'm going to do the sugya of Geirus. But just for example, just in light of your question, to show and highlight some of the differences, a ger is allowed to judge in the case of dina mamna. It's a regular monetary court case if it's his own type, another ger. It's a yid, he's not allowed to. There's certain restrictions. Or let's say there's something called the kibul alai. Kibul alai is, even though a pasul dayan can't be my dayan, if you and I are in a fight and we say we want to be a kabbalim, it will work anyways. So there are different explanations in the Rishonim. So why do you have to passel a dayan ger for chalitza? We'll see later on a dayan ger is passel for chalitza. Why? So some answers are that, well, because maybe you think that it should work, kiblu alai should work by like dini mamnus. Tell me it doesn't work by chalitza. If I don't be makabel myself a dayan ger for my babe, my chalitza, it wouldn't work. This is an exception. Or let's say you wanted to ger. Wants to be a dayan for another ger in chalitza, that wouldn't work here either. Even though by dina mamonos, a ger dayan can be done a ger for dina mamonos, he can't for chalitza. So we already find some indicators that there are differences between the bezdin of a chalitza and the bezdin of dina mamonos. So what's driving that? I have some thoughts. Maybe we'll talk about at the end of the week if we do the sugya together. But I think it's a fair point. But if I could be intellectually honest, I don't really think this is the understanding. I really don't think they're arguing about the nature of bezdin being mekayim adavar versus bezdin being mevarer. I think pashup shad is, as you said, just like the edim are there to be mekayim the kedushin, so too bezdin by chalitza is there to be mekayim the chalitza. They're not there to be mevarer. So what is machlokas then? What are they arguing about?
Where edim are there to be
mevarer? Yeah, the other cases there. A typical case of a, you know, edis by mamonis, a person borrowing, lending. So well, not by dina mamnas. Dina mamnas, that's a good extreme. There's no being mekayim adavar. There's nothing you're trying to create. Kedushin, you're creating something. But I owe you money, so we're not creating any halachic anything. There's no entity of kedushin that's being established. We're just being mevar that I owe you money. The edim are proving that. They do have some machlokas. Nothing's coming to mind right now. You have some issue areas where there is a machlokas, whether this is a kima davar versus being mevar. But this is a good chakir to keep in mind, and it comes up in many, many areas. So what do I think is a machlokas? Before explaining what I think maybe the machlokas is, let's just look at a stira in Tosfos and the Rambam, and then one of the lead points I think Joe gave us before maybe could give us a certain angle. So we already saw in the Gemara clearly that dayanim lechachila, according to everyone, should see the spit coming from the mouth of the Yavam. And then there's a certain language of Tosos and Daf Kuf Vavam and Beis He has a girsa, and doesn't say this girsa in front of us, but the Tosas writes, I quote the Gemara earlier on Lamed Tesmah base. It says, V'roksa kadma ruka bebedina, the spit comes out, the mischaze al ara, that it falls on the ground. Ubechol svarim isa, every sefer has such a girsa that it goes on the ground. V'chein b'sanhedrin, b'yushalmi. So, Shema l'mitzah min amufharhu, d'ba'in en hachi. That it seems that the spit has to go on the ground, and perhaps the bezin has to even see it go on the ground. So that's one sheet in Tosos. Then back in Lama Tesmer Beis, Tosos erases this girsa. He says, quoting that Gemara, where the Gemara says, the mischaze le'an bebedina al ara, they see it go on the ground. Nira de lo garsinan al ara. That is not supposed to be in the text. De lo tzarach, it's not needed. It's unnecessary. So there's 2 days in Tosos. Now, what I would have said is what I initially suggested is that if it's about being mevar, what happened, they don't have to see it going on the ground. As long as they see it leaving her mouth, who cares where it drops? They know the spit where it went. It's going on the ground. But if it's the mekayma davar, so then maybe you have to watch a spit go from A to B. Mamash the whole mice. That's what I would have said. But I think there still is a different angle. And that I'll do this Rambam Raivit together, and maybe I'll see what you guys think about it, and we'll try to put everything together. So, where's that Rambam? There's a Rambam in Hilchos Yibum again, in Halacha, Perek Dal Halacha Ches. Rambam writes, we'll read the whole Halacha together, it's number 7 here. Hakol b'lashon ha-kodesh enemar kacha b'lashon hazeh, you have to recite all the Pesukim in Hebrew. V'chal yoshvin sham onim acharei chalot tanal shlosh etpamim, chalot, 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 everyone says chalot, like we know about Kiddushin, mekudesh, 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 mekudesh. You repeat the name, the mitzvah, so everything's complete. The tzarch shetis kavin, hayavama shetachlots lo, that has to be kavana. V'yis kavin hu, sheachlots lo, they both have to have kavana. V'yasu ma'isim elu lishman. Okay. V'asuma eino cholet shenema v'yarka b'fanav v'ein deroa haro. The Rambam writes that the Suma cannot perform chalitza because he needs to see it. It says, V'yarka b'fanav, she spits in his face, and since he can't see it, so then he's pasul. The Ravid says, V'hu sheyesham acher sheyachot. What's the Ravid saying? V'hu sheyesham acher sheyachot. The chachila, better for someone who's able to see, but if it's the only one, then the rabbi allows even a suma to perform chalitza, to perform the chalitza, even though Yarka b'fanav. So, what do you think this machlokus is between the Rambam and the Ravid about whether or not the suma, the yavam, has to be able to see the roke or not? Any thoughts on this? Yes, Sammy. So I think that's part of it, that drasha, I know some of you were talking about in the Gemara, that at the end of Kuf Vav Mebeis, was whether the Bafanav is the Dayanim, whether the Bafanav is referring to the Yavam. I think that's certainly part of it. That's what the Bach and Beis Yosef and the Bach and Beis Shmuel were talking about. I think it's a little bit a different angle, but I think you are correct. That's a simple, not simple, but I think it's certainly a good approach. Joe, yeah? Yeah, from the Gemara, yeah, yeah. Interesting. I didn't think about that. It could be his role. You know, usually the man is the more active player, and the woman's more of a passive player in most meisim between husband and wife. This is interesting, where she is playing an active role of the spitting, and he's passive. So maybe he has to have some more of an active role. If you were not active, but more involvement, it could be very good. Okay, that's a good angle, I think.
Next to her, and let's say, hear her spit, then it would be.
It could be. I mean, you're talking about the perspective of the yavam. He has to be aware of it. Some awareness. Does awareness being seeing it or feeling it or sensing it? So it could be about how much awareness he has to go. I was taking from your point something different, but I think that's all. I think what you're all saying is all very true. I think it can be any of these angles of his involvement in this. My focus was, I thought, again, it's not any more right than yours, but I think you're all saying good, is that maybe we could understand the, let's understand what exactly is the spitting. What's the ma'isa rekika? So I think there really are three ways to understand the ma'isa rekika. If you're going to make a lumdus out of the rekika. So it's good, you know, to break down. I'm going to just make a good point, I think, for your own learning and sugas, how to analyze things. It's helpful systematically to break things down. You know, anytime there's a sugya, there's always a clash between two worlds coming together. For right now, we're talking about rekika and Beis Din's role. So we first analyzed the sugya from the perspective of Dayanim. That was the first part of our discussion. Now we're going to analyze it from the perspective of the rekika, the ma'aser rekika. Maybe there's a machlokas in that regard. That's important to always know how to separate between different angles. So now, whenever you talk about ma'aser rekika or ma'aser anything, there's always the ma'aser itself, and then there's a tutzah. Right? By Melacha Shabbos, for example. Bishul. Bishul is a melacha on Shabbos. Is the melacha of bishul about the ma'aser of bishul, or is it about a tutzah of something being mavush, or something being cooked? So there's a machlokas between Rashash and Minchas Chinuch. The person puts a food in the oven on Shabbos, and he takes it out before it cooks. Has he violated Shabbos? There was a ma'aser bishul that he placed in the oven. That's all man has to do to violate bishul, but nothing was accomplished. There was no totsah. So this is machlokas that exists by every single melacha. Ksiva. It's ksiva about a ma'aser writing, ksiva, where writing something that is meaningful, writing something that has meaning to it, a word, a sentence. So is it a ma'aser writing, or that there is ink on my paper that means something I could read? So that's always the question you raise by a ma'aser. So here, by the ma'aser of rekika, so now that I kind of set up for you, what do you think is a chakira one could in theory say about rekika?
Just a ma'aser.
It's just a ma'aser, or? You don't see any tzotzah. Anyone see a tzotzah of rekika? Landing on the floor. This tosos, landing on the floor. It could be a ma'aser rekika that she spit, or it can be that it landed somewhere. It accomplished something. So maybe we could say the tosos, the two days, whether or not they have to actually see. Now, Bezin has to see whatever's important, they have to watch whatever's important. So what's important for the rekika? Is it just simply that they spit, saliva came out of her mouth, and that's enough? Or is the point that it landed on the floor right in front of the oven, that's what's meaningful? The result, the totsa, the end of the ma'aser. So I think this way, I think we could explain those 2 days in Tosfos. That whether or not they need to see it fall on the ground or not, would it be taloi, and whether it's about a ma'aser rekika or it's about some totsa, something happens. We're going to add a little bit more to that about the tam, the reasoning of rekika. I think we'll add more flavor to this. But we'll take it, we'll add this to the Rambam and the Rav, and I'll explain the Rambam and the Rav in just a second. Yeah. End of two. In achash yagil neged panav, ava pishal yagil aretz kasher, exactly. V'chein im lo hara adayin, exactly. So it didn't land on the ground. He doesn't require landing on the ground, but his focus is, he says it should be in front of him, but didn't land on the ground. This is a great Rambam. I didn't put it together, but I think it's a great Rambam for what I'm about to say right now. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch clearly write that you don't have to have it land. Before I get to the Rambam Ravid, let me just fill in this piece for a second. So regarding landing on the ground, halacha ma'aser, how do you paskin? So if you look in Hilchos Chalitza, there's one siman kuf samach tes, which is Hilchos Chalitza. There are a lot of sifim here. Let's just tell you to be accurate. There are 56 nunvav sifim all in Hilchos Chalitza. One siman. Now, depending how long we are together for learning, if we finish this parak, I would encourage at the end, the last day, before moving on, if that were zochatu, to just learn one day of Hilchos Chalitza inside the Shulchan Aruch, and you'll see everything come to life a little bit. Just a good chazara, and you see how Shulchan Aruch developed everything that we learned together. So he first has the Hilchos Chalitza, Simen Kuf Samech Tes, and then he has something afterwards called Seder Chalitza B'Ksara. He has an abridged version of Halach Ma'aseh. What do you do? If you're doing a Chalitza, you should look at Seder Chalitza. It tells you what to do from beginning to end. So there, I couldn't find it when I print these out from Bar-Ilan. I couldn't find the Seder Chalitza, so you didn't have it in front of you. But just to read it to you, what is paskind here, he writes in Seder Chalitza Sif Nun Gimel, Tamod Hayuvama Neged Hayavam, she should stand across from him. The Yarka Ba'aretz Kineged Panav Rok Gadol, she should spit a big saliva right in front of him. And the Chamisha Dayanim should see Liros Harok Kishayotze Mipia Ad Shiagil Lefnei Hayavam Aharetz. So while the Shulchan Aruch himself doesn't mention landing on the ground, in Seder Chalitza, it does mention. So there's a stira also out of Paskin, just like in Tosos, but I'm suggesting perhaps it's dependent on whether it's about her making a Maisa Rekika or about it being landing on the ground. And again, I'm going to give some time to that in just a moment. Yeah. So as I think the Tama Davar, when you talk in Lumdus and Halacha, you don't always bring the reasoning in, but I think the reasoning will give some. But again, in Lumdus, you could say that's just the din. The Gemara says in one place in Lamates, Ad Shemischaze Al Ha'ara, the Gemara says it should fall on the ground. So the question is whether we accept that Girsa or not. So just from a textual place. No, because when you talk about Maisa Rekika spitting, so spitting, that when I define it as spit, I spit from my mouth to the ground. That's what that's a normal spitting. No, but I'm saying you're pointing out the Pesukim. The Pesukim says she spit. What's involved in spit? It comes out and it lands. I'm saying the Bach says, why is it any better if Ikav watching spit from the mouth as opposed to on the ground? We don't pass in this likuva anyways. We assume it's all fine. This is all l'chachila. We're not holding by the Bach's world. But in terms of l'chachila, so I don't see why that couldn't be an option. Certainly the Gemara says it, and Tosos and the Seder Chalitza accept this as well. So so now, given this chakira about whether it's a Maisa Rekika or it should be have some totsa, how would you guys try to fit this into the Rambam Raya? Rambam, again, just to remind ourselves, Esuma cannot do Chalitza because Yarka Befanov V'ein Zaroen, he can't see it. And the Rambam says that's only true if there's someone else available. But if someone else is not available, he's the only brother-in-law, so then Esuma certainly should be involved. Certainly should be involved in the Chalitza. So let's add a little bit further. You know, what is the... We spoke about the Maisur Kika and the Totsa. So let's talk about the people, the Yavama and the Yavam. She is spitting, and he's being spit at. The more you focus on the Maisa Rekika, you're focusing on her letting the saliva go. The more you focus on the Totsa, the result, you're focusing on him, the receiver, the recipient. So the Rambam says, Yarka Bafana means he's a recipient. He's the target of that spit. And if he can't receive it, he can't see it, then it's possible. The Maisa Rekika is about the Totsa, the end goal. Who's catching it? He's catching it. He's getting it spit in front of him. I just spit myself right now. He's spitting in front of him, spitting on the ground somewhere. And that's why I think the Rambam focuses on what you pointed out before. Im achar shegia l'neged panav, ala pishlo agia haaretz, even though it didn't fall on the ground, but it has to go befanav in front of him. And if he can't see it, the whole point is that he sees the spit. He's the recipient. The Rambam says, it's all very nice. He should, l'chachila. But Lamaisa, it's about her spitting, about her expressing her, how disappointed she is not being able to continue with the legacy of her deceased husband. So now let's frame it a little bit differently. It's all, I think, connected. Are we saying that the Rekika is her expression of her disappointment? Or is it some type of, let's call it penalty, punishment towards the husband, toward the brother-in-law, I should say? The more it's framed as an onesh, a punishment, a penalty, a knas, then he has to see it. That's the Rambam Shita. The more it's about her, about expressing her disappointment, then his involvement is much less. And that's perhaps, I think, machlokas. I think it fits in much nicer to what we've been discussing here. Now, how does it fit into the Dayanim seeing it? Now, we spoke about how much did they see it or not see it. So what would you think about the Dayanim seeing it or not seeing it? whether it's likuva or not. Any thoughts on this? So I think that the more it's about a punishment, about something being created, a penalty towards the brother-in-law, then I think they would have to be more involved in seeing that knas take effect. It's not muhuk to say what I'm saying. I'm just suggesting. Because in the end of the day, the Rambam, who I think is about the husband, the brother being punished, the dayanim don't have to see it b'dieved. But I think you could lean towards that direction. The more it's about her expressing it, maybe the dayanim don't have to be as involved. I'm not so sure about that. I don't know. But let me just add one last layer to this discussion about Maaser Kika, whether it's about her expressing her feeling or about him being punished. I think it works out very, very nicely to a Cheskuni and a Rebbeinu Bachai. And their tam, their reason as to why there's a Maaser Kika for the process of Chalitza. So the Cheskuni writes, this is number 9, the last couple lines, he describes the different stages of Chalitza. And he writes, Vayarka b'fanav, she should spit in front of him, Kidei levizosa al asher mazba, in order to disgrace him, to embarrass him, lomar shemeachar she'ein chachavitz bi, you don't want me? And then yechoshesh b'chal akirok hazeh, you are worthless in my eyes, you're nothing more than a piece of saliva and spit. So you want him to feel that. Now if he can't see it, that bizyonis is not there. So maybe the Cheskuni is aligned with the Rambam where there's an embarrassment, there's a type of a punishment, a penalty that he has to receive. That's perhaps the approach here. Rebbeinu Bachai, as we know, he oftentimes gives a pshat, he gives a drush, he gives kabbalah, different layers of reasons for mitzvahs. And his is not so much, I don't think, a focus on the yavam, but I think it's more a focus on the yavamah. And what Rebbeinu Bachai explains here, al-das ha-kabbalah, so he says, if you look at the top line here, number 10, mitzvahs hayibam to'elas gedola l'nefesh ha-meis. It's somehow an incredible benefit for the meis. V'yadua ki tigdal hanas ha-nefesh, kishi miskalgeles b'mishu karov, ben mishbacha, yosir l'fishi yesh l'shayachas gadol ha-imo. The idea of yibum, not chalitz, but yibum, is that the brother-in-law was connected, obviously the brother who's passed away, he's able to somehow continue his legacy much more than some distant person. So then, at the end, in the last few lines, Rebbeinu Bachai writes, V'inin v'yarka, the idea of spitting, kerekika ha-nimeses, the disgusting saliva, tirmos l'davar ha-nimas, ha-mizgalga minaguf, it symbolizes the disgusting elements that come from the body, de'chud ha-shidra comes through the spine, shenefesh mislabeshes mesatefes ba, that the nefesh is kind of wrapped inside the spine. Lachach hitzricho chach me'emes lios harok tafel kodem shetocha yivama kedei shelo yeh mitzad achila ela minalachas shebegufa. So somehow, again, I don't know exactly what this really means, but they're somehow connecting the nefesh, the nefashos with the husband and wife, the deceased and the brother-in-law, and the fact that there's no continuation of this family name. So then the saliva represents the nemesis, the disgusting part, without like the nefesh, something in the chud ha-shidra, which is much deeper than I could understand here. But it's not about embarrassing. It's not about embarrassing the yavam. It's something how the saliva symbolizes the end of this relationship, the end of the legacy. And so she's expressing this by spitting, by sharing the saliva. But it's not about him, it's about her expression. And maybe that's a tama davar. Now, it wouldn't be so crazy. The rabbi also learned Kabbalah. He has perushim on Kabbalah. It wouldn't be so crazy that this would be the case. That's more of an expression. And therefore, even if it's a summa, the summa could still participate in the chalitza as well. So that's just a suggestion. Just to add one thing, the Kloisenberger writes in his Divrei Yatziv, in his Shuvas, he says, really, you could put these two together, that the spit should actually go on him, on the yavam. That's apparently the best tikkun for the nefesh. If she spits mamish on him, I don't know how that works at all, but somehow the combination of both together, both reasons of him being spit at and her spitting and showing the nefesh, that fuses the two together, and that is a big tikkun for the neshama. So again, these are deep reasons, which again, I don't normally bring into a halachic lamdisha discussion, but at least we can see the different aspects of her expression of the spit, and less about him, or maybe about his receiving, him being a recipient of the punishment, the penalty, and the bizyonos of refusing to continue the legacy. Any question?
I was just wondering if we're work cleanse itself, like, it's hard to decide whether or not the focus is on, like, the removal. Is his being shoe being removed or her removing the shoe?
Yep.
It's like the whole thing could be...
Yeah, we'll go. I assume we'll go through it. I don't know. First time learning this stuff in these Gemaras, so hopefully we'll analyze chalitza as well, the process of removing the shoe. Okay, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about an interesting din about kviyas makom, that the bezdin for chalitza has to be kovei, a special place for the chalitza to take place. It's a very lamdish discussion as well. And everyone's invited tonight. I'm making a seam here in the shul at 8 o'clock is Marav. Afterwards, we'll all make a seam. Rav Weinberg is going to speak. Feel free to come. No one has to, but certainly everyone is welcome and should feel welcome. Thank you.